Now there, in the 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man. It's a very important verse there. Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he comes to us, that he will turn in thither. The Spirit of God directed me to this chapter, and as I was reading, I just found it very difficult to read much further than I perceive. And I'd like to give this message a title, and I really believe this is, by the grace of God, one of the more important messages that we brought. Some of you say, well, we need teaching. You know, I give teaching every Sunday morning. How to face life, how to handle life. If you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols, you'll hear the Word of God. You may hear it louder, quieter, fancier, longer, shorter, whatever. But my passion is to give you God's Word and show you how we can apply it to our lives today. If there was ever a time we needed instructions from God Almighty on how to live, it is today. No matter how long you've been in and around church, we still need the Word of God more today than we've ever needed it before. And that's what this church is built on. The title that I give to this message today is Perceiving the Holy. Perceiving the Holy. Now, the Bible said that this woman perceived, and she told her husband, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. I perceive. And that word perceive is not a glamorous word in the Bible. It's really very basic. But what it means, that word to perceive or perceived, it means to come to know, by observation, by experience, and to believers, we can say by a divine inner knowing. We know things in our spirit, and God speaks to us, and there's been much teaching in our Bible college through the years of how to know the voice of God and how to be able to judge that inner voice of God, that you're not just led by wild, off-the-wall emotions or the latest fad doctrine or whatever, but you know in your spirit, and there's a proving. There's a way to prove. There's a way to observe. There's a way to experience. There's a way to know by the divine inner knowing what God is thinking. And what God said to me and made so real to me, and we'll try to amplify it here, there was a holy perception. That's point number one if you want to write that down. But she took time to think like God thinks. And believers, there would not be a problem in any of our lives if we learned to think like God thinks. I'm saying something. I mean, you know, your mind can run like a shutter on an old camera if you're not careful. And Satan can just bring a rush of thoughts or temptations or what if, what might have been, what should have been, could have been, would have been. But if we could learn to think like God thinks about a person or people or our life, our finances, about everything in our life. Are we tracking this morning? If you miss this point, you're going to be saying, where's he going? This woman, by observation, by listening to the man of God, by observation, she saw, she knew, she experienced. You know, if you listen to someone, you know, even in interrogation, when people are dealing with a criminal act or something of that nature, if you listen to a person talk long enough, you can get them located. And if you listen to a preacher talk long enough, you'll get him, if you have spiritual sensitivity in you, you'll know if he's a man of God. And more important than that, you'll know if he's a holy man of God or if he's a seminary-trained man of God. Or he's, you know, you can be head smart and life dumb. I mean, there's lots of people that have a brilliant education. I've known of ministers that could quote vast portions of the Word of God, but they couldn't tie their shoes. They didn't understand anything about faith in God. They didn't understand anything about what I would call the real faith message. They just don't, they're clueless. They're clueless. And to me, it's so simple that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was the original believer. I believe that Abraham was the original believer. So she took time. She studied this situation. She listened to what the man of God had to say. She watched how he conducted himself. She watched his pattern of coming through on his way to the next place of meeting. She took time to think like God thinks. God, help us by your Holy Spirit to get a grip on what I'm saying right now. Folks, the answer to all of our lives, flowing better, living better, in every way, is learning to think like God thinks. Not learning to think like the news media thinks. Not learning to think like the newspaper thinks. Not learning to think like many of your family or relatives may think. One of the biggest things you'll ever learn is to start listening to God instead of some of your relatives, if they're not on track with the Word of God. And that's what Brother Womack and I, we've talked about this so many times, that the average person is so heavily influenced by everything and everyone around them, and about the last influence to come into their life is God. If we can learn to think like God thinks, for 53 years, I can look back and see it now, I've cried out to God to think like God thinks. And sometimes that'll take you out of the box. That'll take you out. I remember when we, the perception, a holy perception. She said, this is a holy man of God. That was not a casual statement. She didn't just, I'll just call him a holy man. No, by observance, by the inward knowing of the Spirit, she came to the conclusion, this is a holy man of God. I remember when we first walked into the little post office building back in 1964, there was a perception that this is where God wants us to begin. It was a very humble beginning. The vision that I had in my heart was much, much, much larger than that. But that's where we started. And from that, God enabled us to purchase two city blocks and have a great move of God among young people who had all kind of drug problems and the Jesus hippie generation. And then God opened another door. And when I walked into the former First Baptist Church downtown, there was a perception in my heart. In fact, At the same time we started in the post office building, I walked into that First Baptist Church that was still under construction. I looked at that thing and I said, I would give anything to see a building like this dedicated to the full gospel. I'd give anything. Because now we have big churches, big auditoriums, and big areas where people meet. But I looked at that auditorium. The pews or the theater seats were not even installed. There was carpet at that time. And I just remembered looking at that. And one day the call came from First Baptist Church. They had had several splits, and they said, you're the only church in Fort Worth that we believe can assume our indebtedness and make it downtown. A 200-seat auditorium, and they had a 2,000-seat auditorium. But in my heart, I perceived that this was a holy thing. It was a whole, it wasn't just a great idea. It wasn't just a big idea. So every fiber of my being said, this is holy. This is God. This is God opening a door. And then when that building was destroyed, and many thought that things were over, and they could have been over. We could have chosen for them to be over. But we said, no, some way, somehow, God will bring us through with twice as much, and God's brought us through with three times as much. When I looked at this church, and these were precious people. God bless Midtown, which is now Heritage. And I thought, what about this? They wanted us to have services here. And I thought, well, the music thing will never work. It will never work. And they said, well, you do a keyboard, you do drums, bring them in to the service, take them out. I said, we can do that. And we did. And we had service on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock and Thursday night, which we were having regular services on Thursday night at that time. But it was a perception. I wondered how it would be to preach in this place. I really have never had a hard time preaching in this room. I mean, it's the first time I walked in, it's just like now that the old one was gone, God, this is God's provision for us now. And then we come up with a beautiful Christian school out of it all, a school we never had. So there was a holy perception that Elisha was a man of God, the holy, perceiving the holy. But you know, even though you have a holy perception, I want you to write this down. There's a holy preparation. Preparation, there is a holy preparation in this chapter. Because preparation precedes manifestation. We want everything micro. We want everything instant. And this church has taken a hit that Satan thought would shut our doors and run us off. But he lost again. Praise God. And God has kept us. God has kept us. You say, what was the holy preparation? This woman said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. And she said to her husband, we're going to add a room on the house. Now, then or now, it cost some money to add a room on anything. Right? We're going to add a room, a chamber, a room. And that room is going to be dedicated for a holy man. And you say, what about that? Well, it costs money to build the room. And then as you looked at the room, I mean, here it is. They furnished the room. They furnished the room with a bed and a table and a candle. You say, well, that's no big deal. Yeah, it was a big deal. That was the electric company, the candle. The bed meant you didn't sleep on the floor. You slept in a bed. We're not going to put the man of God. I know when I've traveled sometime for one night, they put me in a pretty rough hotel, and they said, well, C.M. Ward stayed here one night. I thought, well, I'm not C.M. Ward. I asked C.M. Ward about that later on while he's still alive, and he said, that was a rough night. So there's a holy perception. A holy perception, an understanding, a knowing. You know what's kept me going for 53 years? Veering a little bit, but always coming back to a holy perception of what God was thinking about this ministry. This is not a gig. This is not just another job. This is not just how long can you stay. No. It's been a journey of faith. It's been a journey of the impossible. It's been a journey of God doing what no other power could do. And we've seen that over and over again. So, holy perception, but now number two, there's a holy preparation. A room, a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, a furnished room, if you please. But the third thing that you need to understand is that there was a holy, out of this came a holy conception. You see, some people want an instant miracle, but they don't want to think like God thinks. And they don't want to prepare like God. I'm going to tell you, you would not believe the preparation this preacher's gone through over these years. God, I marvel. I'm a lot more supernatural than some people think I am. God has put me through more schools. I've been in more special education classes with heaven, with God. I've learned to stand when you can't stand. I've learned to stand when others fell. I've learned to keep on going when others abandoned what God was doing. Amen. Maybe not doing it the best, but thank God we didn't quit. We didn't quit. We didn't veer to the left. We didn't veer to the right. When you know that you know that you know that you know, then all the yeah-yeah goes out the window. All the yeah-yeah goes out the window. And I'm judging myself right now. I'm tired of trying to make people do what I know they're going to do what God wants them to do. I can't make people line up with the Word of God. They want my wisdom, but they don't want my wisdom. They want my help. They may want the finances of the ministry. They may want the benefits of this ministry, but they don't want to do what you have to do what God's called you to do. There's a price tag to ministry. It's a privilege. It's a sacred privilege. But there's a price tag when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. When your child is under house care, when every demon in hell comes against you, when you put your own finances in time and time and time again, and I deeply appreciate the love offering you gave us the other day, but when we had the big feed down in the gym, that's what helped pay for that feed right there. And I thank God for the privilege of it. You see, when you have a divine perception, everything else is no big deal. You do what you have to do. You do what God shows you to do. You make the sacrifices that God calls you to make. Amen. His burdens are not grievous. His yoke is not easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If it's your burden and your big deal and your idea and your ego, then it's a big deal. But you know, when it's his deal, hey, so what? We're all fellows in the same ship. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. Amen. So there was a holy perception. This is a holy man of God. There was a holy preparation. They spent money. They built the room. A bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. But there was a holy conception. Her husband was past the time of life for her to have a child. You know, I've never noticed this before. Isn't that amazing? You read the Word of God over the years. But it sounds like an Abraham and Sarah story. Sounds like a Zacharias and Elizabeth, you know. You know, God has a way of bringing things to pass. I said God has a way of miraculously bringing things to pass. In fact, in all of our lives, if it was an easy thing to do, you would have already done it. But because we need His supernatural help, we've got to keep our faith on the line. Hey, I've got a word for you. It's going to be faith until you draw your last breath. It's going to be faith until you draw your last breath. You don't believe God until you're 65. Or you don't believe God until a certain age. It's going to be faith all the way. Abraham believed God. It kind of makes me tired to think about Abraham. You know, after Abraham's wife passed away, I think he married again twice and had another two sets of kids. Abraham's a busy guy. Conception, holy conception. What we need in the kingdom of God today, we've got to have holy conception. An outpouring of God. A spirit of revival. Our nation is so messed up, only God can straighten this thing out. I've never seen our nation as messed up as it is. And yet, on the other hand, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child, but it didn't happen overnight. But conception did happen when you believe God. Conception will happen when you believe God. Miracles will happen. Miracles will come to birth. Outstanding miracles. Crazy miracles. Miracles that don't make sense in a banker's mind or a doctor's mind or an architect's mind. Holy conception. Her husband was, he was old. He was too old to have a child, or they were too old to have, for her, them to have a child together. But you know what? God didn't know that. And so when you have a holy perception and you have a holy preparation, then get ready for a holy conception. Hallelujah. Her husband was old, but they had a baby boy. Hallelujah. You say, well, it's all, I know, you can go weird on this if you want to, but I'm talking about all of our lives. If it was easy, you would have already done it. You would have already said it or made it come to pass. There's so many things that I see that need to be done, but I can't do it. Only my faith in God can bring it to pass. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God. James 2:23, Abraham believed God. Hallelujah. Luke 8:50, Jesus said, fear not, believe only. Believe, believe, believe. We're believers. We are believers. I said, we are believers. It's amazing what God can do for believers. Well, there was a holy conception. But wait a minute. There was an unholy interruption. And that may be where some of you are this morning. An unholy interruption. The child is out in the field with his father. And he gets a headache. And the child dies. Wait a minute. The promised child dies. How can that be? What went wrong? And then Satan comes with a dump truck of condemnation. I had a holy perception. I did the holy preparation. I've given and I've believed God. And we had a holy conception. We had this son. But now there's an unholy interruption. The son dies. And about that time, this great woman would have lost it. Now's the testing time, when it's not going like you want it to go. When you can't, well, I just don't see. That's right. You're not seeing. She saw. That's why she determined he was a holy man. She saw. She studied. Amen. So the child's dead. Well, you know what she does? I mean, just what? It is so awesome. She takes the child and puts him up in the chamber that she's already invested in. If this was the average believer, she would be mad at God, mad at the man of God, mad at church. I prayed, I gave, I did this and I did without, and on and on it would go. She took the child, put him in the prophet's room, and she said, saddle the beast, saddle the donkey. And she said, make sure the donkey's ready to go. Because we're not going to stop. This journey is going straight back to the holy man of God. Shila bakora kasaya. Amen. I could have read the whole thing, but she said, oh, that I may run. She said in the latter part of verse 22, that I may run to the man of God and come again. That I may run. That I may run. That we may go with speed. How fast can a donkey go? That donkey did. Oh, dear. If you could have clocked that donkey, you'd have found out how fast a donkey can go with a woman with a made-up mind and a believing heart. As we'd say of drivers today, she had a lead foot or a donkey foot, one of the two. So there was an unholy interruption, but now we see there is a holy, divine desperation. Church, I don't know what the answer to this is. I wasn't raised with so much that's going on today. I was raised knowing real people of faith, being tutored by and under, hands laid on by men and women of God that were strong, and things didn't move them. Toys didn't move them. Trinkets didn't move. It was nice if the car was nice, but hey, that's not what we're all about. It's nice if money's coming through, but you know, hey, if we don't have it, God will send it. But oh my God, here's a woman with holy, divine desperation, running to the man of God. Not running away. It happens over and over. As long as things are going my way, ooh, I'm right here. Ain't it great? But when things don't go my way, I disappear. I run away. I have all kind of verbal excuses for this or for that or something else. Folks, it still comes back to Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've got some strong list in the natural why I should quit. But you know what? I haven't bought it for all these years, and I'm not going to buy it now. Amen. I'm going to run to the man of God. Now, notice a holy faith declaration. She had two of them. When the child died, you say, well, I don't believe it. I believe in just telling it like it is. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Her first declaration was, it shall be well. She didn't say the child wasn't dead. She didn't say we don't have any problem here. She didn't say, you know, it's just all in the mind. No. She said, it shall be well. Now she's on the way to the man of God. And when he sends the servant out and said, ask her, How is it? How is it? Now her confession is, it is well. Are we on the same planet here? Hallelujah. Now she says, she did say, it shall be well. But now, I tell you, every beat of the hoof of that little donkey, faith said, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Yes, great woman, but your son's dead up in the prophet's chamber, of all places, in the prophet's chamber. He's up there dead. Here you are riding a donkey, running away from it. No, she said, I'm going to the holy mount of God. I'm going where things work supernaturally. It shall be well. But now she says, it is well. What are you saying this morning? I wish it could be well. Well, it used to be well. Well, I know the preacher said this, but can you say it shall be well, or can you accelerate and say it is well? Haven't given up. Haven't quit. Praise God. Hallelujah. A faith declaration. It is well. And I could just take time and go through every verse. The Bible said in verse 32 of that same chapter, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. And the Bible says dead, it means the child was dead. He didn't just have a headache as he started in the field. The child is dead. And he went in therefore, and he shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Church, it's time to shut the door and pray. It's time to shut out unbelief and pray. It's time to shut out any voice except the voice, the holy voice. It's time to shut the door and pray. God's raised this church up in spite of everything, kept us going in spite of everything. And if ever this city and the Metroplex and America needs a move of God, we don't need it. We've got to have it. Our nation is sorely divided. Sorely divided. Sorely divided. But you know, God's brought us to this point, and God's going to see things through. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not speaking negative. But I am saying, she knew the child was dead. She said, it shall be well. But there came a point she said, it is well. When you lock into it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well. Went in therefore and shut the door and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth. It's getting kind of strange here. It's getting kind of desperate. And his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. It's time for 7 sneezes. Because to a believer, 7 sneezes are 7 bless yous. That wasn't in the message. I just saw that as an afterthought. It is well. I know Let me just close with this. It's time to think like God thinks. That's called real faith. To think like God thinks. It's time to stop our little stupid reasonings. It's time to back off of any yeah-yeahs. It's time to think like God thinks. Because the answer to every one of our lives, to our church, to our nation, to our city, is to begin to think like God thinks. A holy perception. A holy perception. Hallelujah. I don't know if you got anything out of this message, but I'm not through. I'm just going to have to quit for a while. But I just say in the name of Jesus, it is well. It is well. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said it is well. Stand to your feet if you will. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Did you write anything down? I hope you did. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is. I wonder how many would just stand with me believing God for a greater moving of God's Spirit. Not going to take long, but I just physically, you just take a stand. Amen. Just take a stand. Take a stand. We're not going to back up, let up, shut up until we go up. We're going all the way. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. You know what God wants to do is so supernatural, it just blows the circuit of our minds. Really? I think of one couple that God brought into the church. Their marriage was hell on earth. God helped us and we ministered to them. And in result of that was the first time I ever went to Hawaii. They said, we just want to send you and your wife to Hawaii because our marriage has been saved because of this house. That was years ago downtown. Remember he said, until he went on to be the Lord, he said, anytime this church is in need, he said, you come and see me. He said, don't mess with my bookkeeper. Come see me. Because his bookkeeper wasn't a believer. She was a bear. She was a wildcat. But anyway, he said, I'll write you a $10,000 check anytime this church is in need. And I didn't take advantage of that, but we did go probably 4, 5, or 6 times at least. I'm believing God's going to raise up people in this church. I'm acquainted with friction. That's two back payments rubbing up against one another. We don't have back payments. That's not what I'm saying either. But I'm believing that financial blessing is coming to you. And financial blessing is coming to this house. Lord, I've had enough promises to employ Fort Knox. Amen. But I'm believing for you. I'm believing for this house. Our evangelist has done an outstanding job in challenging us on believing that the wealth of this world is laid up for the just.
Hallelujah.
Let's release our faith for a mighty moving of God. And that move of God will be financed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. An outpouring of God's Spirit. An outpouring of God's Spirit. Father, we lift our voice to you right now. And we reach out for a holy, divine perception of what is God thinking? What is God thinking? We dare to think like God thinks. We dare to think like God thinks. We dare to think like, hallelujah. Get your voice out there. Get your voice. Get your faith out there. I believe God. I believe God. Father, we're believing you for signs, wonders, and miracles. Miracles of salvation. Miracles of finance. Miracles. Miracles of divine provision. Miracles of revival. Miracles of people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Miracles. Hallelujah. Shurabakara karakasakatai. A holy perception of daring to think and believe like God thinks and God believes. Remembering the prophet of God whose little servant looked up and saw the chariots and horses. And he said, alas, master, we've had it, we've had it. And the prophet of God said, open the young man's eyes. Open his eyes and let him see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Nothing is impossible with God. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the child lived. The child lived. The child lived. Oh, I thank you, Father, for the life of God being manifested in this church, in this city, and in our nation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I said, it is well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is well. It is well with my soul.